Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, first of all, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Luke and Troy, for having me here to preach on this Life and Cure Sunday. And again, thank you for sitting. We normally, stand in honor of the gospel, but think about it. Those people who are in nursing homes and group homes, for the most part, they're sitting. I mean, all the services that I led in Northern Illinois, except for maybe some autistic folks or some others who just need to stand up and down and up and down, they're sitting all the way through because they have a disability. They're growing old. They just can't stand on their feet as well as you and I can. As was mentioned, this weekend is Life and Care Sunday. Yeah, our focus is on the life and care of human beings. And our lives are a gift of God. They are sacred. They are special. And we take part with God in caring and joining Him in human need ministry from the womb to the tomb. Our test is, our text is from Psalm 139. The psalmist says, joyfully, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The text is personal. The psalmist is sharing his feelings of joy and happiness that God has made him, created him, fearfully, wonderfully, beautifully. And when you think about it, our bodies, they're very complex and engineered. It's fascinating what we can do, how we think, how we move, and operate as human beings. And so we can rejoice in that. But I'm wondering if maybe you're thinking sometimes, when we get up in the morning, a little bit hard, getting moving. We may have some arthritis issues going on, back pain. Maybe we're not feeling very well. And then maybe some of us might be battling some other ailments, other disabilities, cancer. Then we have to wear these things because of the COVID flu going on. And maybe instead of joy about our bodies, we're thinking, I don't know. We're a little bit frustrated. Maybe even mad. How am I going to battle my illness? How am I going to battle this cancer in my life? Depression, loneliness, a cognitive learning disability of some sort. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that we are made in God's image, male and female. We are in God's likeness. That means we're designed to be like Him in purity, holiness, and righteousness. Not that we're like these little gods and goddesses, but we're in God's likeness. And so the psalmist rejoices that we're created and that we're loved. And God desires this friendship with us. And what's so amazing is that what God has created loves us, but he actually likes us. He desires that friendship with us. We are his beloved. We belong to him, and he belongs to us. So, what happened? Next slide. What happened? God's creation went wayward. Adam and Eve were warned by God. You may eat of any fruit in the garden, but you may not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, on that day you will surely die. And so Satan comes in the form of a snake, comes both of them. They ate, and the byproduct of their disobedience is death. And it's not only death, but brokenness, defection, illness, genetic disorder. This sin by Adam and Eve caused a great divorce between us and God. Total dysfunction. I'm reminded in the Bible, it says in Romans 5:12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, death through sin, this way death came to all people. In other words, Adam's sin is our sin. Adam's lot is our lot. Adam's brokenness is our brokenness. Adam's defection is our defection, both body and soul. So, God has a problem. He loves us, but he hates sin and brokenness. He hates dysfunction. He's got to solve that problem. And he solves that problem in the most amazing way, by sending his son, Jesus Christ. Christ enters the world as a baby with a purpose to redeem, restore, and reconcile mankind unto himself. It is the cross of his son that he redeemed and restored us. Now, by his blood, we are forgiven. By his blood, we are healed. And by his blood, we're in favor with God. Restored back into a relationship with him. This is good news for us and all people. All people are redeemable, restorable, forgivable. And thus, he wants to partner with us to redeem and restore and reconcile the brokenness that he sees in this world. So he calls us in Matthew chapter 28:19. Next slide. Oops, go back. He calls us to go and make disciples of all nations. That word nations means people groups, all tribes, regardless of age, ethnic background, skin color, social economic background, biological gender, or even one's ability or disability, we go and share this message of the gospel. I'm reminded of my friend Andy. Here he is with his dad at the Night to Shine event at St. Peter in Arlington Heights. He's having a great time. Andy and his dad were involved a lot with something that we had in St. Peter called God Special Friends. That was a group of adults who had cognitive and physical disabilities that would come together for Bible study, for prayer, for song. And not only that, this group was involved with things like service projects. They would make cards for the shut-ins. They would go to something called Feed My Starving Children. We would even go to group homes. And Andy would come along with his dad. Andy would play his tambourine and sing. And It was just really great to see him participate with me in ministry. Well, there was this one time when we were at this home, and there's this woman, she was crying. I didn't know what was going on, but Andy did. He went over there and tried to calm the woman's hurts, and he said, Pastor Paul, come over here. And so I went over and says, we need to pray for her. And so we laid our hands on her, and I said the prayer, and amen, and just tried to encourage her that way. And I'm thinking, wow. He saw something that I couldn't see. But he also partnered with me in ministry in that home. And so, God calls people like Andy and disabled to go. Go disabled. Think about it. There were people in the Bible like Moses who was disabled. He was called by God to help him rescue the Israelites out of Egypt. And God wanted Moses to help him with that. And Moses say, I can't speak. Maybe he had a speech impediment or something. So, go Moses, disabled. And then there's Elijah. You remember Elijah, he hid himself in a cave. He was depressed because Ahab and Jezebel were out after him. And he's depressed. He wanted to take his life. God called him. Go, Elijah, disabled. And Elijah's excuse, aren't you depressed? And then there's Paul. He had the thorn in the flesh, not a throne in the flesh, as you can see there. A thorn in the flesh. And three times prayed to God, please take this thorn in the flesh from me. And finally, the third time, God answers him and says, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. My power is made strong in your weakness. So God never took that disability away, but still used Paul as his missionary to the Gentiles. Oh, I'm having trouble with the slides. There we go. That looks like me in mourning. Yeah. Okay, how about you? And me. What kind of excuses are we giving God in what we can do? And you can fill in the blank for whatever that disability is. But God can still use you and me to go and make disciples. To be Jesus' hands, his feet, his heart, his voice to a sinful, broken, and defective world that needs Jesus. So, go disabled, and I like what, I didn't do this wordsmithing here, but when you get go disabled, what do you have? God is able. God is able to use you and me, the disabled, to partner with us. And what a privilege that is. Be in ministry with Jesus. Let's read Ephesians 3:20 together. Now, to him who is able to do more than all we ask for, according to his power that is at work within us. Wow. So that verse excites me. It gives me hope and joy. It tells me God can help you and me join Jesus. Our disabilities may never go away or go away from our loved ones, but we can still serve our Lord by making disciples. I especially remember a time when I went up to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and there is a church called the Able Church. It's a church where mainly the entire congregation is made up with people with disabilities. The Able Church has a pastor and his wife that leads the worship services. However, the people there participate. They read the scriptures, they play musical instruments, and they lead in prayer. And I specifically remember the time when I was visiting, the pastor took all the prayer requests from the congregations and then asked a woman who had a cognitive disability, and I'm thinking, wow, how is she going to get through all these prayer requests? How is she going to remember all the names that the pastor mentioned? And so her prayer went like this: Dear God, please bless all these people. Amen. And then everyone said, Amen. That was it. Nothing else was said. It's the shortest prayer I ever heard. Now, from my perspective, this prayer had no details in it. It had nothing to it. But from God's perspective, the woman's mite of a prayer was enough. God is able. Before coming to St. John, I served as an associate pastor at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Arlington Heights, Illinois. My ministries included senior care and special needs pastor. I was involved in the care and life ministries of the church. I was also served as a ministry facilitator for Voice of Care. Again, this ministry supports and equips local churches to empower, embrace, and engage people who experience disabilities in their families. It's helping them to be Christ disciples, to make disciples as they cope with life and living. Now, before I was called to St. Peter and Voice of Care, I was a parish pastor of a small congregation in Arlington Heights called the Living Christ Lutheran Church. And I had a member there by the name of Tom Lockman. Tom had Angelman syndrome. Now, Angelman syndrome is a genetic disorder. It causes delayed development, problems with speech and balance, intellectual disabilities, and sometimes seizures. And I remember the elders, when I just started at Living Christ, coming to me and says, well, we have a man who has a disability. Pastor, would you go and visit with him? His mom just simply wants you to go and visit and do a little show and tell time. Tom likes to build cars and with his Legos and make puzzles and all sorts of things and just go there. And I did. And he showed me everything that he had in his bedroom and all his toys. I can remember thinking, I'm just going to go to this Tom to do show and tell time. So the next time he came, I brought my guitar and children's Bible and decided I'm going to teach him some songs. I'm going to read him some Bible stories. I'm going to teach him the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to do some things with him. And I kept doing this. I did this for 15 years while I served in this parish. I had to confirm him. But for whatever reason, Mom and Dad were embarrassed. They never brought Tom to church. Never. Except for their own funerals. And that happened towards the end of my ministry there. Tom grieved when his parents died. But Tom there with Jesus. That's what he was saying. God is able to do immeasurably more than what we ever could think or imagine. And it's to him be the glory. We can take people and use people no matter whatever thing they're dealing with in life. God is able through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.